The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So again, a really warm welcome to everybody. Really warm welcome. The welcome is warm, even if the weather may be cold. In these other parts of the continent or other continents. So one thing that I heard in a Dharma talk years ago, I don't even know how many years ago, that has really stayed with me. And I've seen it turn out in my own practice, in my own life, this saying that I heard that was really intriguing. And I didn't quite understand it, but it made me feel curious, wow, I'm not sure what that is, but it sounds like something I'd like to learn more about or know more about or have experience about. And this was from Gil Fronstahl. And he said, with practice, it's not so much that all our problems will be solved, even though, of course, that's all that we wish. Or when we all come to practice thinking that there'll be some benefits, including solving some problems. But we have this, so it's not that everything will be solved, but it helps things to be dissolved. And I thought, I don't know what that means to be something, to be dissolved, but it sounds like it's problems, to be dissolved aren't problems anymore. And so since then, I'm happy to report, having many more years of practice under my belt now, I'm happy to report that I do have this experience, and hopefully many of you do too. So we might have this particular idea that how things to be solved would be a particular outcome of how to solve it. I have this terrible boss at work, and how can I make my boss behave better? And we think that that's going to solve the problem, or how can I get another job? That's another way which can solve the problem. But maybe these problems don't get solved so much, but they get dissolved, which means maybe the boss stays the same. Maybe the job stays the same. But the problemness drains out. Activities, same behaviors, but somehow it's not a problem. Maybe it's a little bit uncomfortable. Maybe it's doesn't match our preferences, but it doesn't have to be a problem. And we start to see how we assign this label problem to things, and Then we have a particular relationship with it. I have to solve it. It must be a failure on my part because this problem has arisen, and it's due to something that I did or didn't do or have to take care of. And this whole barrage of responses arise as soon as this label problem gets assigned. But I don't want to be a Pollyanna, and I'm not saying there aren't difficulties. What I'm pointing to here is that our relationship to these same activities can shift. And this is what practice is about, helping us first even see that it's our relationship, right? The same boss somebody else might think is fantastic. The same job might be great for somebody. So it's not inherent in the boss or the job or whatever it is in our life. It's a problem. Our partners, our savings account, so many things, our living situations. But with practice, we have to A, see that the problemness isn't inherent in whatever the other thing is out there. B, start to see our relationship, start to recognize the role that we have, the relationship that we're creating, and maybe see, to see that there can be a different relationship. We're not stuck in this, even though it might feel like it at times, but practice is to help us to see, oh yeah, there can be a different relationship. One in which that isn't a problem. As I said, maybe it's uncomfortable, doesn't match my preferences, but maybe it's become so familiar. Oh yeah, my boss is doing their thing. I know that they do this, and then I start to feel that, and then they do this. We're doing this familiar dance. Okay. I know, because I've seen this so many times, that this is just how we are. And it's just doesn't have to be such a problem. We can expand our capacity to be with things that are uncomfortable. Okay, I'm uncomfortable. This has a beginning, a middle, and an end. It'll end. So in this way, the problemness drains out. It's some way that I would use to what Gil Fronstolfer said. Rather than being solved, they get dissolved. And then it wouldn't be happy hour with Diana if she didn't bring in a poem by Rosemary Traumer. I just love this poet. She's fantastic. So here's her way of communicating, or here's Rosemary Traumer's way of expressing this idea. This poem is really short, just 3 lines. It's called One Eventual Path. But maybe I would like to call it dissolve, or problems dissolved. Problems dissolved. So here's Rosemary Traumer's poem. So long I dreamt of a key. Now it crumbles to dust, this old cage around my heart. So long I dreamt of a key. Now it crumbles to dust, this old cage around my heart. Some practice helps us to see the cages around our hearts. We don't have to look for the key. We can just let the cage crumble to dust. And loving kindness practice is part of a way in which we start to bump up against and to feel and maybe stretch a little bit these cages that we have around our hearts. Maybe it helps them. Maybe they don't first crumble to dust, but maybe they shift and we start to see, oh yeah, maybe there's some malleability here. Maybe there's some flexibility. Maybe they're not as small, or maybe some of the bars between the cages are pretty wide, or whatever it might be. So with that as an introduction, let's do some meditation practice, and we can help these cages around our hearts dissolve or crumble to dust. So we'll start with a little bit of mindfulness practice, just bringing our attention, our awareness, to the physical sense of this moment, being here now. Feeling into the bodily sensations, including connecting to whatever it is we're sitting on, feeling the pressure against the body. tuning into, is there a way that we can bring some ease to the body while still maintaining some alertness? So being upright, but not stiff. Tuning into the sensations of breathing. Just feeling the rhythm, the movement of the body associated with breathing. And then to begin our loving kindness practice, starting where it's easy. There's no reason not to start where it's, to not start where it's easy. So bringing to mind somebody, some being for whom it's easy. Uncomplicated, straightforward, natural to feel warmth towards, care, goodwill, benevolence, respect, whichever word feels like the right word for you. Love, kindness. This may be a furry friend. This may be imaginary. Kittens. Somebody recently sent me some photos of kittens, a calendar that has photos of kittens. I can't help it. My heart kind of leaps when I see these just adorable creatures. Or it might maybe somebody that you know or somebody who's touched your life. And bringing this lovable being to mind. Connecting with them. And then to support the heart and the mind, staying with this connection, staying with this warmth, this care, this loving kindness, we can say these phrases. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. So long I dreamt of a key. Now it crumbles to dust, this old cage around my heart. And then to extend our loving kindness to ourselves. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Maybe this idea of living with ease is allowing the cages around our hearts to crumble. What if we extend this loving kindness to somebody we don't know? An individual that perhaps is on a Zoom call or that we see on occasion in the neighborhood. Maybe they're at the grocery store often when they go at the same time we go. Whatever it might be. Can we extend goodwill to individuals that we don't know? If you can, bring in someone you don't know to mind. This can be a little bit challenging. And as best you can to connect with them and say these phrases. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Reconnecting with this person that you don't have a relationship with, the neutral person. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. And then to do a little bit of loving kindness for somebody who's a little bit difficult for us. Not the most difficult person, but somebody for whom we feel a little bit challenged with. Can you bring this person to mind and extend some loving kindness their direction? May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Sometimes the cages around our hearts show themselves when we want to extend loving kindness to those people that trouble us a little bit. That's okay. And we come back to this intention of cultivating loving kindness. This idea of problems getting dissolved because our relationship to whatever the problem is, the object that we're blaming the difficulties on shifts. Not necessarily because the behavior is different or the object that's causing the difficulty is changed, but maybe, as Rosemary Chalmers says, this cage around our hearts, this constriction or this way of only standing in one place, seeing things from one perspective and not seeing maybe a bigger perspective or not seeing from a different view or something. So to be sure, I do not want to say that there are that this is easy, that it's quick, and that it's aren't real difficulties in the world. To be sure, there are injustices, and there are so many things that cause harm. But if we're always feeling that we have to be solving all these problems, and sometimes that can consume our energy and our time and not give us the space needed to see a bigger picture or to have a different perspective or to feel into our hearts and allow the greatest wisdom to arise, to allow our compassion to arise. But with loving kindness practice, we can, maybe the heart and the mind just get more familiar with coming from a place of warmth rather than trying to solve everything, but maybe meet it with some warmth instead of trying to make it be different. So it can be helpful to talk about some of these ideas, maybe some of the ways in which cages around our hearts crumble to dust, like a Rosemary Trummer's poem, or maybe how the problemness gets drained out, or how problems get dissolved, and how loving kindness practice can be a support for that, how cultivating our hearts can be a support for that. So I'd like to put you into groups of three or four, and we'll be in a group maybe for 11 minutes, and let me just do a little bit of rebalancing here as some people flee. I don't know about this breakout room business. And I say, you know, in the beginning with my Dharma practice, it was hard for me to kind of share with others and talk with others initially too. Okay, here we go. Okay, so it's helpful when you're in these breakout groups not to say like absolutely everything you can say, but maybe just say one point and let it go to the next person. And then they say one point and then they go to the next person and they say one point and then it comes back around to you. And maybe you have some new idea. So it's less about informing others about what you know, but it's more about getting to the edge of what you know and creating the conditions where you might have a new idea. A new understanding or a new idea about that. So if it's helpful, you can go in the order of the number of characters in your screen name. If you have a really long screen name, including your place and your pronouns, chances are you'll go last. And if you have a really short one with just your first name, you might go first. Here we go. Okay, welcome back. Does anybody have a comment or a question or something they'd like to share? No? Greg, yes.
Well, as I was telling the group, you made mention of an adorable creature. Pictures you've seen of kittens. I don't have any kitties, but I threw up an adorable creature as my background.
I see this beautiful, of course.
You could get a smile from another kind of adorable creature.
What's his name?
Adorable creature.
What's his name? We didn't get it.
His name is it's kind of a funny name. It's New Cadillac. His father is named Newbar, and he's a cow horse. He's a ranch horse. And it's what's New Cadillac, which all run together. It's supposed to be cute. It's called New Cadillac. So I just call him Cadillac.
Nice. Beautiful. Thank you, Greg. Thank you for sharing that. I noticed as soon as you came back that you had a horse background. So now we know the name too. Thank you. Jerry.
Well, I don't have... I realize we're at the end of time for you folks, but I guess I mentioned at the end of our group was I like the idea, like I was thinking of a bird cage. So birds that are in cage, they kind of like the cage because it protects them from intruders. And it also at the same time may feel free when they get out, but there's a vulnerability there. And I guess the vulnerability that I was thinking about that came right at the end, the small group, was, you know, one can have this dissolving, but then I get into this relativism. Well, is there anything that's right and wrong? So anyway, I leave that.
Nice, right? That when things stop being the way that we think that they are or should or something, then it's a little disorienting and maybe like, well, wait, how are things? They're not the way that I'm expecting them to be. That's not exactly what you said, Jerry, but is there anything that's right or wrong? Nice. Okay, so with a warm heart, wishing you all a wonderful evening. And if you'd like to unmute and say goodbye until Thursday. So bye-bye. Thank you.
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
Thank you,
everyone.
Thank you. Bye.
See you all.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Diana. Thank you, Diana.